Red Radio. Delicious. These guys taste great with salsa. Great with salsa. This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strainprint, Freedom Construction, Ringside MD, Clear Air Solutions, CDN Technologies, and 5-Hour Energy. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the worldwide headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Yeah, he missed everything. That's who Phil is today. He missed everything. He do it all.
What do you do?
You do it all. Yes, he does. He's our boy. He's our boy.
Philly's in charge of everything today because Sean's away. If you're watching us on Twitch, it's all Phil. Philly, Coco Pup.
I've grown up. That's not good.
Little baby boy.
Everybody, welcome. This is the show that you're listening to on the radio. You know, while we broadcast, sometimes I lose sight of the fact that there are actual, like, other real broadcasters working at the same time as us. Like, I completely forget about that. Like, we're doing a radio show while other people are doing a radio show.
In the largest market in Canada.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's wonderful.
It's a lot to take in.
You know, in our back in the day, you know, when you do, well, even now, what am I saying? Back in the day, when you do a morning show, it's hard to hear morning shows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although the advent of the podcast, a lot of these morning shows now release podcasts later in the day, so I guess you could catch up that way. They hadn't been invented back in our day. We were still broadcasting through the first battery-less wireless.
That's right. We did our first radio show from the trenches of Dieppe.
That's right.
I saw a wounded Fred Patterson. I crawled over through the mud and the muck.
You held the vacuum.
I said, you know what, sister?
Hey.
I have a good feeling about you.
We used to have a contest and give away bayonets.
Yep. Hey, speaking of contests, tomorrow and this weekend is the weekend of our big Leaf Express
right
tour sport hockey bus. That's not it. It's the trip. It's beautiful. It's a trip to Montreal, and courtesy of the Retirement Sherpa and toursport.com. Mm-hmm. We were so happy, grateful, I think, to give away beautiful trips to the Montreal.
Yeah, it was fantastic. We had two winners, one courtesy of, as you say, the Sherpa, and those people are looking forward to a great trip. And I hope it is a great trip. I hope the journey is good, and the hotels are great, the tour is great, and you have a fun time, because I'm not so sure the hockey game's going to be the greatest to watch.
I don't want to put you on the spot. You don't happen to have the winners' names in front of you.
Well, I was just looking for them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Leafs are going to Montreal. Who are they playing?
You're kidding, aren't you?
Gee. I don't know. I've taken a lot of blows to the head.
Who are they playing?
I said something the other day to Rachel, and she thought it was hokey, but I said, no, Fred will like that. Fred didn't find to mind. That was fun. What did I say to her? Something about, it was a play on words, and she sort of rolled her eyes at me. I said, you know what? I'm gonna remember. If I could remember that, I would tell that to Fred.
Sure.
He would enjoy that.
I love those things.
Yeah.
Gwen Spencer and Carly Reisler.
That's
were the
right.
winners.
Gwen and Carly.
So, and you know what? I'm not even sure either one of them is going. I think they won on behalf of Big Leaf fans, which is fine, which is great. Mm-hmm. And again, I hope they have a good time. Leafs will be in Montreal on Saturday night. Montreal at this point, in my estimation, a much better team than the Maple Leafs.
Because the Leafs got no jam.
Yeah. And Leafs will be playing their backup goaltender because that's the way Mike Babcock likes to do it because they're playing Friday night as well here. Yeah, and Montreal's a feisty, pesty little team. I could see the Leafs getting buried Saturday night.
Why is that not... You mentioned that he'll play the backup goaltender because it doesn't like to play... who's the guy in the net now? Palmatier?
The main guy or the backup?
Is it Palmatier? Is it main
no,
guy?
No, it's Freddie Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Palmatier. Yeah, it's Palmatier. That's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or is it just aggravating?
No, I think it's good. I love that ongoing bit.
If you don't know, I just like to name old Leafs because it makes me laugh to say, like, what was Eddie... Bond? Was it Bobby Bond?
Who won the Masters? Bagger Vance?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really worry because somebody wins the Masters every year. The Leafs,
mm-hmm. Right? That's right.
They don't win the Masters every year.
Cujo, no,
far Cujo. From anyway, no, Gwen and Carly. What?
What happens is yes. when they play back to backs consecutive nights.
It makes sense,
regardless of the opposition. Babcock likes to play Freddie first and the backup second. And he's called into question for this because people say, you look at the teams you're playing. If you're playing at home against a weaker team and then on the road against a stronger team, why wouldn't you play your backup in the first game and your better goalie in the second game? Well, the minute you question Mike Babcock, he digs in his heels. So that's never going to happen.
Well, you don't... Listen, you know, I think you know the game... Probably, you know, more than the average because you covered it as a profession. But you're no... Listen, man.
Yeah.
You're no Mike Babcock. For instance, you might, as a coach, play your best player a few minutes in the final period of a playoff game.
Of game seven.
Like, but because you're not the great Mike Babcock, you wouldn't think of doing that. And so you can't even begin to understand why backup goaltenders are playing against your arch rivals, the Montreal...
On a Saturday night. Division rivals.
Yeah, division rivals.
And the Friday night's against San Jose, Western team.
Yeah.
Not as good as Montreal, and you're at home.
The only thing San Jose's got going for it is it's also sponsored by Gig Sky.
Yeah, they're the backup goalie.
See, and I'm on this verge because, you know, there's teams can be unlikable, and I'm really on the verge with the Maple Leafs. Like, it's almost unlikable. And, you know, I haven't been watching the games. I can't be bothered. You know, my brother said to me some time ago, I said, do you watch Leaf games anymore? And he said, listen, when they make the Stanley Cup final, give me a call. I'll watch. Like, you know, he's 69 years old. He's so tired of it all. Like, he doesn't even bother. He said, yeah, when they make the Stanley Cup final. And I'm in that situation now. It's like, until the playoffs start, until you win a series, like, what's all this mean? These 82 games of what? Whatever.
Well, listen, man, you've hung in longer than... you've hung in longer than anyone could have expected you to.
Right.
I admire your tenacity, but I also think at your age now, you don't need the aggravation.
No,
what if you developed gastric erosions like myself?
Mm-hmm,
you know, right. You don't need that.
Well, I could put a TV in the bathroom.
I'm surprised you don't have one in your estate.
Yeah. Right beside the phone.
You know, if I may just pivot. Are we pivoting these days?
Do people pivot?
I'm going to pivot here. Let me unpack this pivot for you. One of the great joys of my life is I know every Sunday afternoon, and I don't care if it's the off season or the on season, I know between 3 and 6 every Sunday afternoon, I'm going to watch somebody win a championship. Now, it's not the Masters every week, but it's like this week, the tour's playing in Japan for the first time.
Hmm.
And, you know, whether and Tiger's playing, and it'd be cool if Tiger played well. But the great thing about my sport is every Sunday,
That's a great point.
Now, there's not drama every Sunday, but there often is
sure.
a playoff or, you know, even if it's an obscure player that you don't know. But I, you know, I get caught up in the stories of the young guys coming into the league and how they're doing in their first season and how they play against the veterans. But every week, somebody wins something. And it's you see somebody's life can change or it can be a first time they've won in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Winning on the PGA Tour is very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, every week it happens, it's kind of exciting.
Somebody holds up a cup. Receives a check.
Now, for a long time there, obviously it was great for me because 81 times over the course of a decade, that was Tiger Woods. The winningest golfer in history at a percentage of about, I don't know, 18%. That's or 15%. But it's exciting.
Have you seen that he struck a deal to pen his memoirs?
Yeah.
That should be interesting. I wonder how deep or candid he'll get with that.
It's been the topic of much discussion on my channel, PGA Tour Radio.
When can we expect said book?
He hasn't put a day on it yet. I'm assuming it'll be for next year, like Christmas 2020, but that's the big discussion. How much is he going to reveal? Will he talk about the night that he drove into the tree? And will he talk about the drug thing he had a couple of springs ago when he found him wandering around?
Just pulled over.
You know, pulled over.
Gene Simmons has revealed how many women he's had sex with, and was it Will Chamberlain? Was the other one?
10,000.
I wonder if Tiger will lay some numbers on us. Like, whoa, gee. October 2006.
Yeah. Well, even if they even come close to his numbers in golf, it'll be impressive.
Oh, it'll be impressive. Oh, yeah.
So,
What would the upfront money? Have you heard what that would be for his memoirs?
I don't know.
I know. Because it would be like a president. Oh, it would be close to that level.
I can't imagine money isn't motivating Tiger Woods. He got $2 million to get on a plane and go to Japan. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Like, Obama, right, was, like, his, what is it, $10 million?
Yeah. Around his there? Advance?
The publisher calls you up and say, okay, we started at $10 million.
But here's my question for you. Why does Tiger Woods even need to do this now? I mean, like, what's his motivation? Because it can't be money. The upfront wouldn't matter.
You know, and another great point, because given his... Given his last 10 years of his life have been a lot of turmoil.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you want to get into it? Like, obviously he's choosing to do that, and he's got to do it, because if he doesn't, he's going to be criticized for not being more...
Maybe.
As revealing as he could be.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is it what's the win for him if he pens a memoir? I mean, I'll buy it. I'll read it just for the interest. But a Len. Anyway, the discussion has been, hopefully he reveals a little bit about his personal life, a little bit about his process, you know, how it was being raised by a Green Beret. You know, his dad used to stand on a range with him when he was like 4, 5, or 6 years old, you know, making noise, throwing things. But, you know, taking him through like Green Beret training to make him this sort of... you know, championship athlete. But no different than Walter Gretzky taking Wayne out on the pond. And
no, I get, yeah, but weren't what's his dad's name?
Pop?
What's his head?
Yeah, Pop. He called him Pop.
Okay.
Earl. Was it?
Earl. I get the impression Earl was a little more heavy-handed than
Walter?
Than Walter was.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, and that's a great point you bring up now, too. Like, when I was a kid, like, hockey practices, hockey games, the way coaches talked to you and handled you are a lot different than nowadays. Like, because apparently, you know, I was at Johnny Slapshot's practice last night. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're in a position where you actually want to be vocal. Like, you know, concentrate. Listen to what the coach is saying. But you got to watch it. You know? You can't do stuff like that anymore. You can't turn them off. You can't, you know, you can't make this fun experience unfun. Yet there is a fine line that if the coach has decided to give his time, regardless of your age, the least you can do is listen. You know what I mean? But if you sort of intervene that, not that I did either. I'm just saying generally, if you do, it's like, oh, come on, you got to watch it. This has got to be a fun experience for the kids, you know?
Yeah. His life is nothing but fun.
No, I know. But I'll tell you, when I was a kid, and I'm sure you can relate to this, if you're on the ice and you weren't paying attention,
right,
your coach might slap you on the ass with a sticker, you know?
We got yelled at.
I absolutely got yelled at. And maybe yelling isn't the thing, but it gave you an attitude adjustment.
I got yelled at by my coach. I got yelled at by my dad. If I played a game and my father didn't think I, you know, hustled, or he never got mad at my performance. Like, you wouldn't get me crap if I didn't play well, but if I didn't try hard. If I was like, what do you used to call it? It's like you're just lollygagging around the middle of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do something.
Initiative. Yeah.
Well, he was quite adamant. I did say to my kids, though, listen, that coach, you better be, because they were all volunteers. And I said,
right.
You know, that person is taking time away from their family to be with you. I wouldn't do
Bingo.
It. I wouldn't do it.
No.
So you better be good to that person.
And as every year, as each year passes, it's harder and harder to get coaches. And that's why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why. Because there's so much pushback from parents, and you've got to walk on eggshells and be so conscious, super conscious of how you're handling these kids. It's most people nowadays go, I'm sorry, I don't have time for this. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, was it you and I, or I was with somebody recently that was coaching hockey, I think? Was it, weren't we with somebody who was coaching double-A hockey? Or was that a golf guy I met? I met somebody recently that's coaching at the AA level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, the guy. And his son was a goalie.
His son was a goalie.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how much work it is and how much... Yeah, the guy that was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
How much work it is. Are you there, Dandera?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we're talking about children and how coaches of youth sports have to be so careful now because you can't ruffle a little baby's feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there are people listening right now going, yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't have anything to... My son didn't even get involved in any kind of team sports.
Well, he's
sports
an
artist. Bit. Yes, he just doesn't interested. He's not interested in it. I suspect there'll be interest in sports like golf like you have an interest in later in life. That's what I suspect with that boy.
All right. Should we get Dan Duran intro'd here?
Absolutely.
Are you ready, Phil?
Yes.
Now, let's review. It's Dan Duran...
Mm-hmm.
Not Zuh.
Nope. Nope. No cheese.
We go loud, quiet, quiet, loud. How does it work, Phil?
What is it? Quiet, loud?
We come on strong. We soften it up. We finish hard.
Right.
All right. Here we go.
Is somebody conducting there? Is that because that's a range thing?
Here we go. And okay. Dan can't sing along because he's on Skype and can't hear the music.
Right.
That's why.
And there'd be a delay anyway.
Here we go.
That's a nice finish. Yes.
Took it up.
Okay. Nice one. Well, the weather's, you got a little bit of rain, Toronto and a little bit west of Toronto this morning. It's basically a lake effect experience. A little bit of moisture, but not a whole lot today. We're not expecting it. The big rain day is coming up on Sunday, by the way. Yes. Saturday night.
Rain day.
Sunday.
Rain day.
Sunday is a rain day.
Rain day.
Especially in the morning. So, for golfers who like to golf.
Rain day.
Do you golf in the rain?
In a warm rain, I'll play. I've played some tournament golf in a steady but warm, you know, rain.
In the morning rain. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
I like rain on Sundays because often if I'm sitting there watching the NFL on a bright, beautiful Sunday afternoon, I think, I should be outside.
Mm-hmm.
When it's raining, I don't have those thoughts. So
yeah, those are good.
I don't mind a rainy Sunday in the fall.
No, you don't mind a rainy Sunday. Dan, what about you? Do you enjoy a rainy Sunday?
This week, I'm not looking forward to it. I've been working
on
my
roof.
Yeah, I got the I've got the roof exposed right now. There's shingles that have to go on.
Mm. There's like a big hole in your roof.
I'm fixing a hole.
I'm fixing the roof. There's one section of shingles I didn't have the professionals put on because I didn't need it.
Oh no!
10 years ago. Now there was a couple of rainstorms ago that I got some rain, and I guess I got to get to that. And it's, you know, it's always more complicated than you think.
Did you phone Glenn Adams?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna do it all yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm fixing. Well, I've got the shingles off, and now I'm starting to put down the first layer, and that's all happening today.
Do you think your house will ever be finished?
Like ready? No.
Dan'll still be working on it after he sold it. Dan's gonna sell his house, and the new people are just gonna look outside one day and go, "Why is that man up on the roof?" Fixing a hole.
I meant to get
these last couple things done.
Dan, did it cause much damage inside in the bathroom?
No, not a lot of interior damage. There was some stuff in the attic that got a little bit of wet. There was a little bit of puddle of stuff in the attic. But that was after I took the shingles off and then it rained.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a drag. All right.
But there's a little bit of drywall that has to be repaired in the ceiling. But it's basically dried out by now anyway.
All right, guys. People are looking forward to the Humble and Fred Long Weekend, which starts every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Of course, yes. Phil Hong will be hosting the Best of Humble and Fred tomorrow and Saturday, but we would like the full weekend forecast starting with tomorrow, if we may.
Well, absolutely. It's going to be kind of real seasonal for the next few days. We've got some sunshine. It'll break up later today with that wind happening as well, a windy afternoon. And then we get into today could get up to about 16 degrees. Tomorrow, 12, 11, sunshine Friday and Saturday. And then that rain I was talking about, somewhere between 14 and 16 on Sunday when that rain comes through. And then it'll clear off for a bunch of days after that, like Monday, Tuesday. Cloudy. I mean, clear off as far as rain goes. Not a lot of precipitation until later on in the week. There's possible precipitation on Halloween, but at this point, it looks like
Is Halloween going to go? Are they going ahead with that this year? Are we going
politically incorrect this year or what?
Are we just doing too close? Are we still doing Halloween?
There are people who love to dress up.
Yeah. I used to pull that one on my kids all the time. Oh, Christmas has been canceled this year. Did you hear it was on the news? Mm-hmm. And then I would do Halloween, and then they'd roll their eyes. And now I've started with my grandchildren. Oh, I just heard on the news that Halloween, they've canceled it this year. And the way they look at you, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be a couple more years before they catch on. But
that's a good bit.
That's a great bit.
It's a great bit.
Torment the children.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Destroy them.
Dan, you're from Western Canada, are you?
I am Western Canadian, yeah.
Yeah. As am I.
As you were.
Now, in Didsbury or whatever.
Didsbury.
Whatever one saloon town you grew up in on the prairies. Did you guys say, what did you say at Halloween? Did you say trick or treat?
It was always trick or treat.
Did you not say Halloween apples?
Never did. Didn't make sense to me. I mean, it wasn't a thing.
Well, yeah. Is that a Saskatchewan thing? Is that just,
I think it's a moose jaw. I think it's a Hunter Street moose jaw thing.
Henry probably. Street.
Or whatever.
Henry Street.
Henry Hunter.
We've talked
did you
about
say Halloween apples?
Yeah, every year.
We've talked about this for years.
I know.
Have you ever heard of that, Phil?
No, trick or treat, right?
Trick or treat, smell my feet. Right. Give me something good to eat.
Right.
Yeah. No, Halloween.
I've heard of Halloween apples.
What does that mean?
I just I didn't really want them. I don't know. It never was it wasn't that I hadn't heard of the term, but you know,
In some parts of Canada, according to Wikipedia, children sometimes say Halloween apples instead of trick or treat. This was probably originated when the toffee apple was a popular type of candy.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
They said it in Winnipeg. Here's an article saying, my sister and I grew up saying Halloween apples.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Anyway, Dan.
That explains it.
I don't remember the toffee apple so much as the candy apple.
That was also during the unbelievable razor blade scare of the 60s and early
70s.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. You'd hear it every year.
Oh, yeah. Watch out for razor blades and the apples.
It would never happen.
Yeah.
Dan, a toffee apple and a candy apple, I think, are the same thing. There was the caramel apple that was different. So they would dip it in caramel of an apple, which was
good. Oh,
And then a candy apple or a toffee apple were the hard candy on the apple.
Yeah, right. Dan. Anyways, getting back to putting razor blades in apples, I will tell you this.
The razor blade forecast.
Whoever did that the one time, and for whatever reason, just ruined it for the rest of us giving out apples to kids. Because you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this very day, Phyllis.
Right. They say you avoid, homemade candy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Although the best treats my kids ever got were the people in Oakville across the street from us that the wife of the people, the woman, the mother. Mm. What am I trying to say? She would make these homemade, just for the neighborhood kids. And when my kids would go over, she would go
kids get that she knew.
Kids that she knew. She made these popcorn, toffee, nut things. Best treats ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember those.
They were made with love, Dan.
My neighbor two doors up made pork chops. It was great. So you get there.
Pork chops?
Yeah, she'd just give you a pork chop on a paper plate. Yeah, it was great. We'd all go there. Yeah.
If you want to make it ridiculous, that's fine. Yeah. Okay.
Imagine that. Did you ever
just
you ever
for the
egg a house?
Kids?
Mrs. Bigger's giving up pork chops
just for the kids she knew. Yeah. Is that Danny Patterson? Wait a second. And she goes back and she gets a pork chop on a stick.
Yep. It happened.
Yeah.
In your ass adolescent, Howard, because you were a troublemaker, did you like ever egg a house or anything like that on Halloween?
I did not.
No, neither did I.
No, it was because I was too scared of my dad.
My house on where I am now got egged a few times in the early years when we were there for whatever reason.
Toilet paper?
And it's hard to get. If it's there all night and hardens, it's hard to get that yolk off.
Our house got, Easter egged at Easter because we're Jewish. They were like, Easter egged our house.
Really? Okay. People throwing chocolate eggs at you?
Yeah. Just our house was covered with chocolate eggs.
Okay, we got to go, Dan. All right, Ben. Did anyone get any weather out of that? I don't remember.
Yes.
Early morning.
Rain Sunday.
Early morning rain.
Seasonal. Mix of sun and cloud until Sunday.
Very nice. Dan, thank you very much. All the best to you and yours. Good
Have
luck
a great
in,
weekend.
In the never-ending quest to fix your house.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. Everyone, we got to take a break. Very nice to have you with us on Funny 820 and at humbleandfredradio.com. It's Humble and Fred Radio across southern province area, the southern Ontario provincial area. And on Funny 820, of course. Hey, Stony Creek, what you doing today? Of course, around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. 25 years ago today, this was one of the number one songs, the dopey I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men. Also, 25 years ago today, at approximately 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this young lady was born. And she grew into be the pride of the Glassman family. Hello, Charles.
Hi.
What's that?
So, hello, can you hear me okay?
Oh, that's right. Your phone doesn't work.
Yeah, I have my headphones on, though. It should be fine.
Yeah, I guess it should be.
Why doesn't the phone work?
Oh, she's too busy to get it fixed.
Because I need a new phone, but it's fine.
So,
that's not what this is about, though. This is about my birthday.
Yes,
it is about your birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Charlie.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Sweet Charlie. Sweet and successful.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you feel today? And by the way, would you know if somebody asked you what time of the day you were born?
I've asked you that every year because every couple of months I text you it because I want to find out my full star chart, and then you need to know your birth time for that.
So you were born in the evening. Your mother was in labor for close to 30 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You did not want to get out of there. All right. Okay, everybody.
I'm saying nothing
as well.
All three shows to say nothing.
What's that? Okay. Let's see. All three of us are choosing not to say anything.
If the child wasn't on the air, I would say a lot.
I'd say a lot. As soon as we hang up, I got some things to say. But for now, you were in, mommy was in labor, and then finally you had to be vacuumed out, and you came out with a, like a traffic cone head. That's what happens, they have to vacuum the kids.
Right.
They get out of the birth canal,
mm-hmm.
and it turns your head conical.
What do they call those things? It's not vacuum. I thought it was like, what do they call them? The tools that grabs their head and they yank.
Clamps or
suction
forceps or
forceps.
Anyway,
like that. Just like the
it was
thing.
Not Charlie.
Yeah,
it was not a great look. But very quickly after that, you became a magically beautiful. And after she basically cried for about 8 weeks, you were very colicky.
Well, babies do that sometimes.
But after that, after the cone thing wore off, and after you stopped crying.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel today?
Good. Not to lie, I literally just sprung out of bed for this call. So I'm a little sleepy. But,
okay.
I know. It rang about 15 times.
I know. You know why? It's because I had to get my headphones or else I wouldn't be able to answer. Anyway. No, I feel good. I've taken some time to reflect. So it's pretty much the same. Last night, my friend surprised me with some fun stuff. So that was nice.
Yeah.
one of many surprises I think I'm going to experience.
Is your roommate James awake yet?
He's not. He's sleeping.
Oh, okay. Because
last night he had dinner. We had dinner at like 11 p.m. at one of my favorite restaurants that we would be out for my birthday. And then Benito, my other friend, was there. So
you went to a restaurant last night at 11 for dinner so that you could be there at midnight when you turned 25?
Yeah, it's a restaurant. It also happens it's a very hard restaurant to get a reservation at, and we always joke, like, you can only go if you want to eat dinner at 11.
Oh, yeah, that place you were telling me about.
Yeah.
Now, when you go to a restaurant in Toronto, do you think this is great? Because, really, I'm spending American dollars and everything is 35% cheaper.
Ew.
Well, when I go to Toronto, I'm like, do you want something? Can I buy you that?
That's right.
I'm like, yeah. Here, cash for everybody. Let me get this for you. Like, everything is 30% off. It's amazing.
Charlie's so good. She's like, let me get you that coffee, Daddy, and here's $5 for your trouble.
Yeah, I'm like... Everything is like a 30% off sale. It's
well, you were in Brooklyn really recently. Like, the prices in Toronto aren't 35% more expensive than a restaurant price in New York or Brooklyn, isn't it?
No.
It's so just you're, a dollar. No.
You're cashing in big time up here.
Yeah. Pardon?
I said you're cashing in big time up here when you bring those greenbacks up here.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, listen, my love.
It might be $15 in Canada, but for me, it's like 11. Like,
oh, I know. It's magical.
it is.
Listen, Charlie, we're all very proud of you. Are you going to be available for a real daddy call later, or are you too busy now?
Yeah. Just text me before if I have the chance to put my headphones in. That's all it is.
Well, listen, I'm very proud of you. So is Fred. So is Phil.
So is Stan.
Thanks for Stan's right now missing Billy, your dog. No. Stan's just staring out the window waiting to bark at somebody. I love you, Charlie. Have a great day. Happy Thank birthday.
You. Thank you. Love you, too.
All right, my friend.
Happy birthday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, darling. And maybe, honey, maybe take some of that American money and get your phone fixed.
Yeah, maybe one
Or buy
day.
A new one.
Maybe one day.
All right, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, what part is not working?
The speaker part. That's why she has to use her headphones.
Okay. I see.
So,
but that sounded like she was almost on speakerphone.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. She's on her headphones.
Yes, headset.
Oh. Yeah. So, what did you want to say when I said? when I said
you didn't want to get out of there. I said, there was this. Yeah, the early part of your marriage, you didn't either.
Literally, I was going
to
say
that. Dad didn't want to.
Yeah, I remember those days when I didn't want to get out of your mother.
Yeah. Well, you know. Another problem was, I just get in, now I gotta get out.
Now
I'm falling out.
In the early days, I used to get in more than once a time. I might get in for a second time.
Reverse like a truck. Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. She won't listen to this part, I hope. No.
Why would she?
Why would anyone? okay, you know, let's take a second here and talk about the retirement Sherpa, and then we're going to have a live discussion with the retirement Rudra.
Mm.
Rudra, are you standing by? Oh, there's music. Hang on. Hold on. Where's Rudra? Rudra, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Rudra, stand by, because we're going to talk about some Pixel phones.
Okay. Hey. Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. The Nibs was on yesterday talking about defined benefit plans and commuted value upon retirement, the differences, the certainty versus flexibility. He touched on survivor benefits, which is the better plan, what fits your overall plan. You know, this is the guy to talk to because, listen, it's not easy when it comes to finances and financial planning, and he's got all the answers. RetirementSherpa.ca is how to get a hold of him. The Retirement Sherpa, he's a good fella.
Yeah. Sherpa. We were talking about the GigSky eSIM service, which was, as we know, now available on the Google Pixel 3, 3A. Hey, Rudy, what was the discussion? You heard me talking to Sean about maybe getting a new phone, getting a Google Pixel phone.
Yeah, that's what day would it have been. I guess Tuesday when Sean was talking about his phone, or you guys were talking about phones, and you were saying that you were contemplating getting a phone. So I thought I'd talk with you and see, give you my opinion of the phones, the new phones that are coming out, and then you can decide.
Well, the thing for people to realize is the Gig Sky eSIM was originally just available on the new Apple line. And then when you and Ravi were in here, we talked about the idea that it's available on these new Google phones.
Yes.
But, you know, who else has one? I know you have one. Sean has a Pixel, right?
Google 3A, I think.
Like, are they comparable to the Samsungs and the Apples in terms of all the bells and whistles, like the camera's amazing and all that stuff?
Yeah, they are. You know, technology, generally speaking, they just really leapfrog each other. You know, when Apple releases their phone, it becomes the best. And when Samsung releases their phone, you know, they leapfrog and come up and they got a few better features. And then when, you know, Huawei releases their phone, it'll have a few better features. So, mm-hmm. you know, keeping up with technology, you'll drive yourself crazy if you want to always have the best phone. But they're all very good phones. You know, the cameras on them are all very good, if that's a priority for you. Now, when I was looking to change my phone, for me, the camera and other abilities like gaming and all that stuff is not a priority for me. But when they change the technology on the phone to enable the eSIM and dual SIM capability on those phones, that's what made me really want to change and upgrade my phone. Now, those are my priorities, not necessarily everyone else's. But, so the eSIM and dual SIM capability was really a paradigm shift in the phone market. And, Apple was there first, and the other ones are now trying to catch up.
Well, Apple was there first, and Apple was there putting the Gig Sky SIM as standard operating in their new systems.
Right. It's embedded into the iOS to use the Gig Sky service. You know, as my brother had said last week when we were there, mm-hmm. In 2015 when we started working with Apple and putting the Gig Sky service on the iPads, that was really trial run, so to speak, to see how it will go before they start putting into their premier line of products, which is the phone. So that went well, and it took a little bit of time to get it into the phone. And as we said last week also, it was really getting an international standard as to how to this eSIM will work. So a good portion of it wasn't necessarily the technology, but it was agreeing as an international standard that this is how the technology will be deployed.
One last question. I've had a Samsung for a long time, and mm-hmm. Before that, I think I had a BlackBerry. I'm not really sure. That's how long I've used this phone. How easy? Because I've never had an iPhone. How easy would it be for me to go from the Samsung, or anyone to go from the Samsung to say a Google Pixel?
I think they're pretty easy staying within the Android family, because you can do the backup and restore of your apps that are there and information. They generally speaking, these places, they all have a product to get you to switch to their product. So they make it as easy as possible to migrate from one line of phones to another line of phones.
Why have you never been an iPhone fella, Howard, considering you're an Apple advocate?
It's too long a story, but the short of it is, I was.
Oh,
on
we
my,
have time.
No, we don't. No, we don't. I was on my way to get an iPhone.
Yeah,
and best friend Dave, this is like 10 years ago.
Right.
Said, "Oh, I'm not really sure, because he's a bit of a technology guy at the time."
Right.
I looked to him mm-hmm. for advice. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, I don't think that's the phone for you. So I went and got another one. And then the joke is he ended up getting 10 years worth of iPhones.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And you've
never had one. What's that, Rudra?
Yeah, I was going to say that because I know Dave has a new phone.
Oh, yeah.
Because I talk with him about it.
He
setting
gets a
it up
new one every year. Yeah. And I never got one because he said, "Yeah, I don't think you should get one. That's probably not the phone for you."
Really?
Hey, Rudra, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, no problem. You know, like I said, the Pixel 3a is a good phone. The Pixel 4, those ones are, they have the similar capability as the iPhone in that you can have two SIMs active at one time. So using data on one SIM and then using your phone on another one. So those ones are, you know, that's, to me, that's the technological difference in where you're going to choose your next phone.
All right, man. You're a good man, and all the best to you and the family, and
we'll speak to you soon.
Okay.
See you, pal. Take it easy.
Barker's here. Well, you grew up in Nova Scotia?
New Brunswick.
New Brunswick, that's right. What did you guys say? We
did not say Halloween apples.
But some people did.
Apparently,
Amanda.
According to the Wikipedias, I've never heard it.
No one is questioning that. And I think
I think you are.
We had this conversation, I think, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time saying to you, Howard, that must be regional because we never... Not only have I not heard of that, none of us ever said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Toronto.
So you never heard of that in Eastern Canada?
Never.
Wow. So there's like a pocket of about, I don't know, a couple hundred miles of this country where we say Halloween apples.
What did you say for Merry Christmas?
Hey, Jesus, what's up? Jesus?
What up, Jesus?
What up, Jesus?
What did you say?
What did you say for this?
He said, what are we doing?
I've zero times ever heard that. That listening to you guys this morning was the first time I've ever even heard that expression.
Oh, well, we've recycled that bit for a long time.
Yes. Yeah, so.
I remember there was another thing that came up. I said to you once, every Sunday... We had a Sunday dinner. We ate at the kitchen table 6 days a week, and then on Sunday we moved to the dining room and had a roast beef dinner.
Yeah.
And then you were saying, like, people didn't do that out
well,
where you
live.
Well,
the only time we ever ate in the dining room was during... yeah, we didn't do that.
Huh. And everybody
we didn't have enough food for 7 days. We only had enough food for 6 days.
No, and everybody on my street did that. Everybody had Sunday dinner. It was just a cultural thing, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we may have, but I just remember the only time we got to eat in the dining room where everything was very, very clean and all wood and everything was wood was on the, you know, occasions, with the Jewish occasions.
And Sundays were not an occasion.
Mm. No.
No?
That was not our day.
It's pretty typical Sunday dinner.
Well, yeah, it wasn't my part.
Yeah. I don't think it's typical anymore, but...
Sunday dinner?
Not as much.
I mean, for us, it wasn't... It definitely wasn't an every Sunday thing, but I remember the concept of it.
Well, my brother's... Stephen's wife's family, being English, that was a big thing. The Yorkshire pudding, the Sunday dinners, and the roast beast.
Yeah.
The roast beast. How are you?
I'm well.
How are you?
I'm well.
You sound a little...
I know. It's still there.
Do something.
It's still there, that little rasp. That's my rasp.
We ended up having an extra guest yesterday. We had a wrestler come in here.
Came in yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, we had a wrestler and
Kick it up or something.
Wrestling times.
He messaged me 2 days ago and said, oh, I've double booked myself for today.
Oh, yeah?
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I've double booked myself.
He just showed up.
I can send another wrestler, and I didn't message him back because I was trying to find a different date for the main wrestler. So this So he just sent wrestler on a random day.
Yeah, random wrestler.
Super kicks.
And normally I watch or listen, but because I was doing work in London, I did not. That is hilarious. I'm sorry.
It was funny.
Yeah, super kick.
Like, hey, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm here wrestling. I'm like, cool.
Oh my gosh.
He was a nice kid.
Really
That's
good.
Funny. So no, yeah, the head wrestler guy must have just randomly sent him.
No, it was great.
On the day of his choosing, I suppose.
Well, that's how it works for a lot of our guests. You just show up whenever the mood strikes you. I know you only have a short time, so let's use you. Let's engage. Let's speak. Okay. How are things? How are you feeling in this new Canada?
Oh, yeah. I know. I wasn't here for that. It's so funny. I don't do a ton of work in London, but... We were joking in London that we have this history. It always seems to be that we're there on various election nights.
London, Ontario?
Yeah, we were there when Obama went in the first time. Remember that?
Rejoicing.
And the second time. So it's just watching election results in London at Ivy School of Business is just a weird tradition.
Did you stay at the hotel there?
At Ivy, yeah.
Yeah,
I stayed there
a couple years ago with Rachel.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing a gig.
Yeah.
And they put us up at... It's weird because the Ivy School of Business
is weird,
has a campus.
Yeah.
But it also acts as a hotel for guests that they bring in, I guess.
Yeah.
They had a nice breakfast, I remember.
It's a decent spread. I've been eating that food. But you know what? I've been eating that food for a couple of days. No disrespect to the lovely people at Ivy, but there's... like with any buffet that you eat habitually, yeah. there's some recyclage.
You know that,
so I don't need to see those carrots again.
Well, mm-hmm. I was going to say, the first couple of days that I go, like I'm going to this Club Link trip in December, and they have like a nice breakfast buffet set up every morning. The first yeah. couple of days of a breakfast buffet, it's pretty exciting.
It is.
It is, because there's the like unlimited right. sausages, yeah. the big thing of bacon.
Yeah.
By day three, you're like, all right, I've done all this.
Yesterday's cheese, and you're like, yeah. I remember that
because
one.
Because I don't care who you are. If you have some of the little sausages and some of the bacon and eggs, you don't feel right afterwards.
Yeah.
You just feel different because you don't eat that every day.
No.
It's not the best way to start a day.
You know, I love a European breakfast spread because it's the bocconcini.
Oh, yeah.
The fresh cheeses. And the prosciutto
bread.
And the bread. That and then tons of fruit.
Yeah.
That to me is a I don't ever need bacon and eggs if that isn't.
Fred's right, you know, you lay down a pretty heavy grease layer as the foundation of your day.
That's true.
You know, when Charlie and I and her friend James were in Nice in France together last year, I guess. That breakfast every day, I look forward to it because all it is big cheese, mm-hmm. fruit, and that bread.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a big butter on bread person, mm-hmm. but I was putting, because I wasn't putting anything else on.
Fresh
it was so good.
Fresh bread and a nice coffee. Come on. You can't beat that.
Oh my God. We rented a place in Tuscany once, and it was fantastic. It was the summer, so the windows were open. We woke up in the morning to the smell of croissant baking. And then same thing. You go downstairs and it was the... And not the processed meat. Good sliced meats and cheeses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one thing I remember about that trip were the breakfast.
Yeah.
And the smells.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I really, really...
You know, I loved watching the... Because it was right on the dock. The restaurant sort of looked like the street roofs right there. Mm-hmm. That would be the... And then every morning, the fishermen would bring fresh fish. And the townspeople would come with their baskets and grab fresh fish that had just been caught.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I just watched this whole scene develop, you know?
Have you ever eaten a fish with the head and tail on the plate?
I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. I swore I would never do it, but when you're in that situation and people do that, it was quite... I could handle it. It was
all
right.
That daily eating mm-hmm. thing, it's so funny. That's been a big thing in our relationship because of our... You realize how differently you're raised with somebody. So Marco mm-hmm. is European. He was raised by Europeans. And for them and for him, when you're like, oh, let's go pick up whatever we're getting for dinner. Let's go get the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get... That's his life. That's his how he's been raised. He's also been raised not to have an overly full fridge, just enough, a few things. But because if it's overly full, it wouldn't be overly fresh. Me, my American sensibilities, mm-hmm. I was raised with pack that freezer, make tons so that you can eat it for days.
Cover everything with cheese.
Yes, that's a given. And then, put it in the freezer, get it out later. My mother's fridge is, and it's just a different way of thinking.
So
that you don't waste time, so that you're only shopping every 2 weeks.
The problem with that is if your fridge is packed, which ours often is, stuff gets lost in the back and you forget it's in there, so you throw it out. Same with the freezer.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in the freezer. By the time we go for it, it's been in too long. Throw it out.
The older I get, the more European I get.
We had the freezer downstairs where the overflow, you know, like the big,
the chest freezer.
A friend of my father's would have shot a deer and we would have gotten some of the meat.
Is that deer meat still? What are we going to do with it?
Anyway, it's good to have Amanda Barker here. We don't see you enough because you're busy. You're like a real person with a job. Mm-hmm. You know, and I try to do my
twice a week. But
well, I like you coming in here.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
You're one of those 8-hour people. They're 9 or 10
hour
people.
I hate it.
She works all the time.
I wish I wasn't. I wish it was 9 hours.
Yeah. Hey, Fred and I, our big challenge is what do we do with the other 23 hours a day? For me right now, it's Peaky Blinders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got in.
Oh, it's so good.
I got to try it again. Oh, see, that's one that just didn't
Rachel said the
stick.
Same thing. She tried it, didn't like it. Huh. And I was like, how can that be?
Well, that's the way she swings.
I love it, man.
Yeah, I do too.
I watch three. They're 1 hour episodes. Like, I'm just, I don't know what I'm, where do I find the time to watch three? Like,
you find it.
I watched it right up till I fell asleep
last
night.
But it goes by so quick.
It's so good.
No, I know
more.
It is.
Just one more.
Delise and I have sat there and watched four or five in a row.
Well, the problem is, if you guys have noticed, that Netflix has changed their countdown time. Remember, it used to be 15 seconds?
Yeah.
It's five now. Next episode starts in 5 seconds.
But you also have the option to go there right away, don't you?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
If you don't, you got to get on it, man.
That reaction
it used to be
time.
15 seconds would give you time to go. Oh, do I really want to watch another
right
episode? Now you've got no time. You make a split second decision.
Do it.
You know what I do? I always check how much time is left. Like I'll see if there's like, is it 4 minutes or 6 minutes, and I'll decide at that point. Am I going again? Because if I am going to go again, I'm going to need more snacks. I need to restock my snack more vibe for episode four.
Mm-hmm. A lot of talented people on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Although, you'll find out... this doesn't matter. You'll find out later in the series that Polly, she has her 45th birthday. Don't you have her a lot older than that?
Well, it is the early 19th century. Everyone looks a little bit... Yeah,
it's not realistic to give her a whatever a 55th or 6th. I mean, that's dead back then.
Yeah, exactly.
I
guess.
You know? Oh, right. That's a good point. Yeah. Right.
But 45 was pretty old in 1919. Mm-hmm. That's when the series is set.
That's a good point because probably in real life she is older than that. I'll have to do that research.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. Amanda Barker's going to hang in. Alan Shane Lewis is here, part of the new Second City show that invites you to bask in the glow of nostalgia. If I could hashtag throwback time. It's what we're going to talk about. We're going to get Alan on in a few minutes here. Hang around if you can. It's Humble and Fred Radio and humbleandfredradio.com. On this cloudy Thursday, it's going to rain a little bit in the morning, and then this afternoon, not bad, not a bad weekend. Sunday, some showers, and then next week, again, not bad considering it's October. It'll be Halloween soon, and then, of course, November, the month of just the worst month. Just the worst month in this city.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's the Beatles, right?
Yeah, that's right. That was a little us, Paul.
Might as well be.
And John, anyway, our guest hanging out with us and Barker is a former stand-up comic that decided that, hey, writing was hard. Let's just... I'm kidding. He went into the Second City program just over a year ago and now finds himself on the main stage of the legendary Second City here in Toronto. The new show is called If I Could Hashtag Throwback Time. Say hi to Alan Shane Lewis. Woo! Alan?
Yeah.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You know, Barker and I often discuss stand-up versus improv. Mm. And, you know, as a stand-up, we all put a little improv in, you know, depending on the type of comic you are. There's always a little bit of looseness. But how do you feel going from having a sort of a really good idea of what you're going to do on any given night to having no idea?
It's definitely more vulnerable and scary, I find. Because, like, when I do, like, stand-up, like, it's just something that I've practiced over and over again, and I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'll have a good time. And if it doesn't work, I can shift gears, get out of there, and go over there. But when you're on the stage with, like, the five giants that I work with, it's a little intimidating at times, and sometimes you're just like, all right, well, I'm going to say this, and, like, this is, like, my first instinctive thought. And
sure.
You say it, and then everyone's just like, no, that wasn't funny. Like,
no, oh, that wasn't good.
Oh, no.
Just curious, though, because I've seen Game of Thrones. What is it like working with giants? Is it cumbersome? Is it always, like, banging over things?
Yeah, there's a lot of fee-fi-fo-fum and, like, a lot of rhymes.
Niblets.
Yeah. See that? Yes, and. Yeah. Yes, and.
See? If that is true, what else is true?
Exactly.
That's just another way to say yes, and.
Heighten and explore that.
Yeah.
Are any of them from the Valley of the Jolly? Ho, ho, ho. So now you're doing this. A lot of the Second Cities, you can speak to this too. I mean, it's created through improv, but it ends up being scripted.
Right.
Yeah.
the show itself that you're going to be performing is came from the improvisations. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could explain how it works to people.
Yeah, so it's a premise prop. So you have this idea that you think is funny, and then you go out there. You just you basically talk to somebody before the show, like, hey, I have this idea. I want to try it with you. All you got to do is just say this, this, and this, and we'll just act it out and see what's funny. And it's not necessarily if the jokes work. It's mostly if the tilt. If the audience likes the tilt, then from that, you can just start building from it. Then you go, okay, we know that
so
this
when
works.
You do that, do you do that after the big show? I mean, how do you create the show is what I'm trying to get
Oh, yeah. So basically during our process, or like our 10-week process, after every show, we'll do an improv set. And in that improv set, we'll have different ideas that we've been talking about all day. And then we try that. And then from there, we keep working on things. And if they keep, you know, getting stronger and stronger, then we'll slide it into the show. And then through those 10 weeks, you're still editing, adjusting, trying new stuff, trying new jokes. Like, all right, well, this didn't work here. How do we get a new ending? How do we get a new beginning? And yeah, it's just constantly just going up there, failing, going up there, failing, going up there, failing. And it's just all like new to me because like I haven't really like I've been doing stand-up for like 7 years. And in the past, like, I don't know, I would say I got real comfortable like the past 3 years. And I, mm-hmm. the way I built my material is basically just to do something, and then in the middle, I do a little bit of like new stuff, and then I just build out from there. And I'm like, all right, so not a lot of failure. So it's just mostly just like great sets, and then just like, oh, this joke was just okay, and that's you know. So I had to like relearn to be okay with like failing, because like sometimes I'm pitching something and I'm like going out there, and then it just donut. I'm like, oh yeah, all right. I'm
that's
not funny.
A fun feeling.
Yeah.
Oh
so
yeah,
it takes me right back to like open mics and stuff like that, but Yeah, and then, yeah, so those 10 weeks, we just built the show, and there's a lot of fun sketches that I got in there that I was happy to see. I had a bunch of, like, my thing is, like, joke writing, because I guess, you know, the stand-up background. So a lot of my blackouts, I had a bunch of blackouts that they're like, I was like, which ones are going to make it in there? And I wanted
you should explain
to
that.
What is that?
Oh, yeah, blackout, just like a quick sketch, like a minute sketch, just something that's just like, boop, 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 and then we're gone, you know? And
but how does the instinct, if I may continue, like, you know, as comics, we're always trying to find the sort of twist and how to make the punchline, you know, you keep refining that. But as an improviser, isn't part of the give and take of the craft to not be always running for the bit, to not always have to be having the last line or to try and support the scene versus...
Yeah. I mean...
Is this anything I'm saying?
No, it is. Because you're talking about improv versus sketch. Like, those are two different worlds.
No, I'm talking about in the Second City world versus a stand-up.
Yeah.
Whereas a stand-up, you're always driving the bus to the punchline. Whereas as an improviser in Second City, you may not want to do the punchline because it will wreck that part of the scene.
Yeah.
I think... For improv, certainly, but for sketch, I mean, you got to find a blow line at some point.
No, I know. That's what I'm talking about as a new improviser or somebody new to that process. Okay. Your instinct must have always been.
Oh, yeah. I had to get rid of that immediately. I took as many resources as I possibly could to kind of like, guys, I didn't want to be like the person just like the flat tire on a bus. So I did as many classes as I possibly could. I restrained myself from trying to say the funniest thing that would not necessarily work in that scene. I just try to like just listen to the scene and then just say like, okay, well, if this person, what would this person who is you, who you think is funny, what would they say to this? And then just, you know, just trying to be natural with it.
And doesn't it depend on who you're working with as well and knowing them? Because, you know, this shows a certain degree of improv, and there's times where we say something. Maybe there is a punchline, but you say something to set up the other guy because you know where it's going to go.
So. Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of, like, alley-oops in the show, especially when you know somebody and, like, what their, like, sensibilities and what they, like, what the things they know are funny. And you're like, oh, I know where you're going to take this.
What's the policy on cracking each other up?
Oh, I do it so often because I'm like, I'm enjoying this. This is a fun job, and I think everybody in my cast is so funny. So I sometimes would like, you know, sometimes I won't say people's names, but sometimes people will fart on stage.
Oh, and really? Yeah, there's been a long history of farting.
As I say, it's a lot like this show.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can smell it. And then like the audience is like, wow, what's going on? And then everyone's like, and people are like, and then you're like, what's happening? And like, oh, everyone's laughing. Oh, don't laugh. Just power through.
Oh, fart?
Is that a, and excuse me here for not knowing, is that a rule of improv? You shouldn't break each other up on the stage, or is that a good thing?
Well,
does the audience accept that?
Because that was an SNL thing for a long time. Well, that was a big rule.
Carol Burnett, too.
Yeah, they, well, no, but I'm saying SNL was the anti... Because of the Carol Burnett show.
Okay.
Because of that style of old television, Lorne Michaels sort of made it a rule that we're not here to, you know, this isn't...
To entertain each other.
Yeah, we want to... So you guys are allowed to crack each other?
I think we're not supposed to. Yeah. We try not to. We try to, like, nope, but, like, at the end of the day... I don't know, for me personally, like, it's a job I love, and I love these
So the show is an hour and a half long, a Second City show, and then you guys stick around and improvise after that?
Yep, and then sometimes we have guests come in who are just, like, in town, and anyone who's, like, watching the show, they want to come in and jump on the stage, they can come do that.
Did you work on that stage for some time?
Yes and no.
In that in that building or a different building?
Yeah, in that building, yeah. I was in the touring company, and then I left to go on cruise ships.
Right.
For a while, and I did a few other things there. Yeah.
It's a nice... I did a thing with Sean Majumdar years ago. Mm-hmm. He had a benefit there, and that was the only time I've ever been on stage. Mm-hmm. It's a great theater.
It's great. It's set up... I mean, it's built for that.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
the sound is great. If you haven't been to a Second City show or haven't been in a while, this sounds like a great one. It's If I Could Hashtag Throwback Time, which is about what? Alan Shane Lewis at the Alan Shane on Twitter.
Yeah, well, it's a slice of life. No, it's a it's just like a nostalgic concept. It's the whole idea of that we look back to our past for like these great things, but then like you kind of look at it, you know, with a fine tooth comb or like through a magnifying glass, and you're like, oh, maybe those things weren't all that great. You know, like like I remember being happy when I was 10, but I was also 10. You know, like there were a lot of societal problems, so a lot of these things were like
a lot of pressures.
Yeah, you know. But there's like there's a whole idea of just like nostalgia is like a glaze over a lot of things, and we don't remember things the way we're supposed to. So it's like it's really kind of like, you know, like living in the past, and just plays with those different themes and things that. Are reciprocal in nature. A lot of societal issues that we deal with today that are like that definitely, you know, happened like 30 years ago. And we're like, we still got Nazis? Okay, yeah, that's
right. Oh, yeah.
They're still around. I thought they were gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But like just things
believe
like
me,
that.
We're surprised. We're more surprised than anyone. You know, all the Jewish people look around going, are we still, is there still Nazis?
It's so weird how like America will embrace that. I'm like, you know, they lost, right? I thought you guys were like, we're number one. We're number one. Like,
no, exactly.
It's like, it's a weird thing to be around for the losers of that. Like, usually the losers, you let them go, right?
So the show starts. Is it underway now? Or is it open?
Yeah, okay. It opened on the 10th. That's what I want to believe.
And how long will a typical main stage show go for?
A couple of months. So I think we're going to January 2020. We might go till February, but I believe January 2020 is.
Last question: once you're part of that group, main stage group, do you continue? Is your contract year to year or just show to show?
It's show to show. So this is my first review. Hopefully, I get a second, and you know. See where I would go from there. Probably 3 or 4.
Amazing.
5,
hey,
6,
congratulations. 7, 8.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
You seem like a very nice person.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, I'm actually a horrible human.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
And you seem also horrible at the same time.
Where do you get a NASA jacket?
Oh, so you have to go to space.
That's, oh, do you? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I thought it was something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I just beat up Neil Armstrong. It's really
easy. As hard as it used to be.
Really easy, yeah.
A lot easier than it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, listen, man. Alan Shane Lewis.
Yeah.
Go do your wedding.
Yeah.
He's got to go to a wedding.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for having me.
We're just sort of awkwardly turned away from you.
Yeah.
As though you were going somewhere else, but you're just... You can...
Phil, show Alan where to go. What
and we're going
to
take a photo of you, too.
Take a photo.
Cool.
Thanks again.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's fascinating.
No, you know, over the... During my stint in Peterborough, they have a theater there, improv, and some of the big guys used to come up.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some students, and I forget the name of the theater, but a couple of times...
Well, Linda Cash runs a wonderful...
Right.
Yeah.
And Linda used to work with our friend Dan.
Mm-hmm.
She did mornings
and
when
her
he
late
was...
husband as well, yeah.
Well, he didn't do mornings with Dan.
Oh, no.
But Linda and Dan worked together for a long time, yeah, and obviously knew... her late husband, but she did it on Skype with Dan for years.
Right. On Skype?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
But they had a studio there, and they taught improv classes.
That's right.
And I got some of the jocks to go from the radio station to take those classes. I thought it would help on air.
Right.
A throwback to something we had learned at Chorus. But there was a couple of shows, and some of the kids would go, and they asked me, do you want to take part in this, too, in the improv? I wouldn't do it. I was afraid. Because I thought, you've really got to be relaxed, right, to roll with it?
I don't know.
I thought I would probably overthink it.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, maybe, yeah.
On stage.
It's such a fine line, and every performer's different, but being present, being in the moment, but also, and a lot of performers kind of don't want to talk about, but, like, your brain is going at 100 miles an hour because you're also, depending, you know, you're also trying to think, okay, what are the possibilities and how am I not serving the scene? Like, we all want to jump into the great scene, but most of us want to leave the one that's you know, dead in the water. We want to leave it there. We don't have anything to do with it. So when is the right moment to serve the scene, right?
And during the classes, again, it would get, and I was guilty of that, and everybody was. Everybody thinks that once their mouth opens, it's got to be something funny or some kind of a punchline, And Paul and Linda taught us, you know, counter to that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about the setup and not doing that. And it was very interesting.
Once you worry about being funny, you're kind of dead in the water.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying to Alan in terms of, you know, going from doing stand-up, having things mostly written. And he was saying, you know, once you've been doing it 7 years, you know, you've got enough material that almost every night you go and do it. You know, with a few exceptions, you know, sometimes the setup is wrong. We've all done gigs in banquet rooms where the tables are around and everyone's looking in five different directions.
Right.
That's not your fault.
Right.
But, you know, all things being equal, you will go and know that things are going to go well. You improvisers, what I respect, is the idea that, you know the cast, you have some material, but you don't know how it's going to go every night.
Right.
There's some. I mean, talking about improv, not sketch.
Yeah.
When you're in, you don't know if it's going to be good or not.
Absolutely.
Have you done it at all? Really?
Well, I did it with you when we did it. We did the same chorus.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean, like a night where there's an audience that bought tickets and
no,
that's too much for me.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it can be. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that when they start you out, and even the touring company, you're doing games is a dirty word, but you're doing game set because a lot of the funny is inherently structured in, and you also have all that audience participation, which is always gonna, you know, play for them. Not always, but you know, there's that in that buy-in because the audience knows. Okay, you just pulled up Bob from the audience,
right?
You know, and he doesn't know what's going to happen, so it's all very exciting.
You know who took to it pretty quick was Danny Stover.
Oh yeah, yeah,
she
that's
was up there at the time.
Yeah, she
did
just
really
finished
well.
Her conservatory.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could tell she was a bit of a natural.
And she ended up her partner is a wonderful improviser that actually was in the touring company with me.
Adam.
Yeah, we worked together for many years.
You know, early on, I mean, I did some theater sports. I did it in school. I did it. You know,
so what is that again?
It's the games you play. It's the sort of foundation of improv are these games. And theater sports developed out of a guy named Keith Johnstone. And I had a chance to sort of know him.
Which is West, that's all.
Which is West.
Yeah.
But that's how I started doing stand-up, really, is I went on stage after Kids in the Hall in Calgary.
Yeah.
But theater, I sort of had a bit of a, not suspicion around it. I always thought it was like, you know, I we've had this discussion, Amanda, and I think a lot of times that because the audience knows it's being created at that moment, they give it credit, they give the jokes credit, where in the moment they're very funny, but as actual material, it was funny at that time.
That's right. Yeah, it's funny. I remember our good friend Kira, who's the VP of Yuck Yucks. She's also one of the organizers for a long time of the Canadian Comedy Awards. And one of the biggest problems was people would submit for Best Improviser. And to get a Best Improviser nomination, you had to submit your sets. Well, you might have a great scene in one and a great scene in another, but it's teamwork, so you're not going to be a standout in any way because that's sort of counterintuitive to what you're doing anyway. And then beyond that, even if you are, it might have been real funny in that moment, but it doesn't live on film in the same way, which is why it's magical, which is why you should go see a show at the Second City or any of those theaters. But it's also why it doesn't play.
But
on
listen,
film.
It's the same for stand-ups. Like I did it's often. And Robin Williams sort of taught me this. It's often what you create in the moment that's way better than your material because it's happened in that moment. The problem is
it doesn't often, like, occasionally I'll say something in the moment and go, ooh, I got to write that down because that was perfect. It was a great tag, or I came up with a different line.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like I did this bit the other night at the synagogue show where my joke literally to close screwed up.
Right.
But they had a sort of a screen. Mm-hmm. Take care, Alan. But they had a screen. Yeah. So I screwed up the joke, which they loved. I said, okay, let me try that again. I went behind the screen.
Yeah.
And just me going behind the screen and coming back out like I was starting again.
Yeah.
Killed.
Yeah.
But it's like, it was only funny because I thought it happened in that second.
That moment.
In that moment. And I tried to explain it to Rachel. I'm like, you had to be there. It really is the had to be there.
That's just it. And that's the thing with corpsing. When you were talking about laughing on stage, the problem is actors, especially young actors, you know, you have that moment where you have a legitimate laugh, where you have a legitimate break, where you've said something and you're trying to keep it together and you really can't. That is that's intoxicating for the audience, and it can be for you as a performer too. The problem is once a cast member gets a taste of that, people want to chase it, and it's not authentic.
You call it corpsing?
We call it corpsing.
What's that mean?
Yeah. Corpsing means dying on stage, which means you let go of the scene, what they used to do on Carol Burnett. Corpsing is laughing. Yeah.
Yeah, when it's not genuine.
Because when Fred and I were younger, I can speak for both of us. I used to watch that show with Harvey Korman and Tim Conway, and they would make each other laugh. I loved it because it was sort of, you never saw that.
Well, listen,
it was breaking that.
But also, they were doing the sketch for the second, third time ever. It wasn't 6 months into a show.
Well, listen, a lot on social media, wherever you see it. 9 times out of 10, highlights that you see of throwback shows, it's Carol Burnett. It's those scenes.
Yeah, for sure.
Where they break each other up.
So I used to love those. Because it, to me, as a kid watching it, it was like seeing the grown-ups kind of break a few rules or whatever it was. But I also understood from reading the history of Saturday Night Live, that was the thing Lauren Michaels hated.
Yeah, but I could see why. Because it's once you know how much how rewarded you get for it, then you chase it, and that is indulgent.
And if it's not genuine, people pick up on that in seconds.
Exactly.
Milliseconds,
I've been in shows. In Spank, we would corpse for sure. And the show that I toured for 3 years, and part of the problem was some of the actors and usually it wasn't actors trained in comedy, but other actors go, oh my God, that's so funny when we all laugh.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we're all laughing again. And it's like, well, it's not genuine. And also now it's just indulgent.
Well, then what you said too about chasing it.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's hard not to because I'm not sure if you use the word intoxicating. Mm-hmm. It is. It's exhilarating. You know, one of the things that Marco, you ever met Marco?
Yeah.
Great guy.
I have. Yeah.
I don't know if I told the story when he was on a couple times ago, but he and I sat down last year, I think, last comedy season, and we talked about how to structure my sets. And one of the things, and I did it the other night, he and I talked about, I'm pretty good as a non-trained improviser goes, but I'm very good in the moment when just spritzing with the audience.
Yes.
And he said, what you should do is start with a little bit of that. Just to let them know who you are, as opposed to going right into material.
Let them in.
And so and because of that conversation, I structure my act with a little bit of improv in places in between the material on purpose.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a little bit of breathing room, but it also, for me, it's like a good way to warm up. And the other night, I was the third person on the show, but the MC, who's very funny, didn't do a lot of MCing. Mm-hmm. Like, he just sort of walked up, started doing material. Same with the second person. So I went, okay, perfect opportunity to kind of warm the... I was doing 20 minutes, so I got time. Mm-hmm. So I spent a little time at the beginning kind of hosting my own... That's what Marco said. You have to host your own spot.
Yeah.
And that's what I do now. I host my spot. Whether I'm MCing or not, I'm saying, okay,
it's brilliant.
Welcome to my part of the show.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing? And I have a little bit of back and forth, and it just... makes everyone relax, I think.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, because I had to do improv. I was doing an improv workshop last night in London. You have to do that. We learn to do that as improvisers because they'll be like, okay, great. And now here's your improv show or your improv class or whatever. And whoever's introducing you usually has no idea. And so you go up. So you have to immediately warm up and get everybody to start shouting out things or whatever it is. That's intrinsic. And that's one of the things you do learn as an improviser, especially actually game sets. You really learn how to work a crowd in that way. Which, yeah, it's a you and I went to see a stand-up show where a comic, I'm not going to name the comic, so, but think about the stand-up shows we've
been to. I know the shows.
Where the corpsing was written into the set, and you and I were both like, wow, look.
I know.
I can't believe he's laughing.
Yeah. Good. Well, so bad?
Yeah.
Well, okay. for us it was. I mean, right. Maybe the audience really thought it was genuine, but it was so obviously not genuine to us that it was like, oh, he can't keep it together. He's laughing. Mm. Somebody who I very much respect. Mm. And I mean, that's maybe two performers watching a performer. So right. I don't know that we're the best litmus test for that. But that, watching that, we were both like, oh, you know.
Well, I remember Robin Williams said this in one of his sets. And it was on a recording, I heard. And he said he was doing some improv and he was brilliant at it. Mm. And he said the following. He said, I hate to go back to my act now. It seems so. Mm-hmm. Just seems so ordinary, or however you put it. It just seems so sort of uninspired. But it's true, because, you know, but the problem is so you stop writing.
Yeah.
And you just think, oh, I'll just improv every night. But you get the wrong audience and you're just, you're stuck.
And it's like anything else, right? It's minutes. It's minutes on stage. Like, when you're first introduced to improv and performing, again, I can't get over the thought of how nerve-wracking that must be. But I guess after a while, you do it enough.
Yeah.
You learn to sort of bob and weave and roll with it, or there's little pinpoints
you go to. But then at the same time, some performers get schlocky because they know what's going to kill, and you get back to that chasing the joke thing, or you know how to set up that. I mean, listen, you watch Colin Mochrie and Ryan Stiles.
Right.
They know each other so intrinsically, not only from that TV show, but from the decades prior of working together. They know how to set each other up in the best way. That's most of what they do. If you watch them on stage, is just setting each other up, you know, because they know.
But Fred, I think, asked a good question. It's really comes down to this, and you can concur or not. I think it just comes down to how comfortable are you standing up on a stage.
Yeah, that's
whether it's improv or stand up. Yeah. What happens to performers as they get older or more experienced and better? How they improve is just your comfort level.
Yeah. Not caring as
because
much.
You and I speak in real time during the show. I almost never get nervous. The odd time we'll have a guest and I'll be excited, but I'm not nervous, and neither are you, because we're so comfortable in this environment, which is why we can kind of be more ourselves.
And the thing is, if something isn't working, which is very, very rare.
So rare.
Well, we can change gears and go serious.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
But it starts with being comfortable.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm excited about the show tomorrow night, and I know at 9:01 I'll walk into that into that light. Yeah, there's a few things I'm working on, but I also know, because it's emceeing, it's going to be fun. I'll be fine. But that fear is what prevents most people from trying it.
Yeah, but that's why you got to follow your... Yeah. The great improv guru, Del Close, said, follow your fear.
Yeah.
That's what you have to follow.
Well, there's all sorts of books. One of my favorites is it's called Lean, or The Lean. It's called leaning into being uncomfortable. The more you lean into it, you sort of vanquish the fear around it. Barker, great time. Thank you very much.
You're
a good woman.
Thank you.
I mean, I know you're a woman, but you're also a good person.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Humble and Fred Radio, back in a minute. It's Humble and Fred Radio, and always a pleasure to host you wherever you are. You're maybe driving around Southern Ontario, or you're listening to the podcast, humbleandfredradio.com. So funny, because I never really got into the Tragically Hip until Gord Downie passed away. I know that sounds stupid.
That anniversary was last week. It came and went, and we didn't even acknowledge it. What kind of Canadians are we?
Horrible.
Oh.
And then recently, I've been getting into this new band, Pearl Jam. And over the summer, I got back into Warren Zevon. Letterman loved him. If you go back and look at some of the old NBC shows, the Late Show with Letterman, the 12:30 show, used to have Warren Zevon all the time. I don't know what it is.
Was he still alive?
No, sir.
All right.
Passed away a long time ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Right. But Letterman's still alive.
Is he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so check
it out. Still got the beard?
Check out the Letterman. This program brought to you by the Chambers of Commerce. plan.
Canada's number one plan for employee benefits, the Chamber Plan, is Canada's leading group benefit plan for small companies. You can go get it. You can go and get a free quote right now at chamberplan.ca. Put the profile of your company in, see what it's going to cost you. But more importantly, what you can do for your employees, what you can do for your company. All sorts of great products, health insurance, dental insurance, travel insurance, tons of stuff. Go there and find out what they have. Chamberplan.ca. It is simple. It's stable. It's smart. Chamberplan.ca.
I really loved having Amanda in today, but I'm glad she just left. Because I've been holding in, I've been percolating. Yeah.
Do you ever do that, Phil? Do you ever just percolate?
Yes. Yeah. It usually comes out as a burp. So
anyway,
it's not good.
Yeah, I've been percolating. I didn't. It was the kind of thing where I was going to let one go, but then I thought, no, because I don't think it's any good.
You know, the week is ruined now.
Why is that?
Well, because I thought maybe we could go one day without talking about the fart.
Oh, that's
but here
true.
We go. Yes. We've done it. Straight Monday, well, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Is it a full four days?
Oh, we nailed her.
Did we?
Oh, yeah.
We should have like a sign that says 4 days since we mentioned farting.
That's good for
Ronald
us.
Ronald and Fred maintain.
Barb Paluskiewicz is our newest client. Contact cdntechnologies.com to learn how to avoid being a victim of a devastating ransomware attack, bank fraud, negative PR, or data breach. CDN Technologies is your outsourced computer company providing IT service, IT support, IT security, ice cream for ice cream to businesses in the Oakville, Mississauga, and GTA. Call 905-542-9759. Barb's podcast, No Tech Talk. Twitter, follow her at B. Paluskiewicz, or go to cdntechnologies.com for more. I don't know if that was interesting to other people about improv and comedy and standing up. You made an interesting point, I thought, when you said that it's hard enough for most people to get their heads around, you know, getting up at
a wedding
or, yeah. You know, last Christmas season, my buddy Jeff Lumby had his 60th birthday and he had a few people in this kind of little bar area and everyone got up and said a few things and Jeff asked me to host it. And I sort of laughed, like the night before I met Yuck Yucks and the next night I met some bar in Acton.
Right.
So, but my point is, it's no big deal for me. I just took a microphone and started talking. But the people that got up, I thought they did great. His friends were great, but it's unnerving. It's nerve-wracking for them.
Well, it so depends on the situation, because I know after Peter Griffin died of Pete and Geets, I went to his little wake thing, whatever you'll call it, at a bar in downtown, and I wasn't prepared, and I didn't know. But then I think it was David Marsden was hosting it, and he just went around the room and called upon us to say a few words. And I wasn't prepared. But I had no problem because it was from the heart, and I was well-equipped with material, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, so that wasn't hard. In another situation, somebody might throw to you, and it's like if you're not prepared, not that you would look foolish, but you might feel embarrassed that you didn't deliver or you were awkward or...
Well, isn't that the fear that we have of public speaking, legendarily the thing that most people fear the most? What it is, it's a fear of looking silly or being embarrassed or not. It's an attack on your ego. Listen, I've stood up in front of people and said something and had zero reaction or had a horrible reaction. Like, believe me, last week when I told the German thing at the synagogue, it wasn't the best reaction.
No, but your skin's pretty thick now.
Well, but you're
thicker
just
than average.
You're just used to it.
Right.
You know that people can, you know what it feels like, that hot feeling on your neck. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, for me, I remember my ears used to get really warm.
they no, did. I know what you're saying. I know it. I know exactly.
But what happens is after 1,000 times, you just get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But in that situation you're talking about, most people don't even have the wherewithal to do what you did, which is conjure some authentic talk.
Here's what I often say, because, you know, there are people, there are kids that will get married and say the father of the bride will say, I'm not talking. I will not get up in front of a group. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that just blows my mind to think you can't take 5 minutes out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't overcome that fear for 5 minutes to talk about your daughter. But that's pretty common.
Right.
And then even my kids, sometimes they'd say, you know, in those situations, they don't like to get up and talk in front of an audience. I say, just put yourself in the position. The last time you were at a wedding and somebody was up there talking, you're not scrutinizing every word they say.
Exactly.
No.
You're not hanging off every word they say. It's just part of the fun atmosphere. So relax and enjoy it rather than fear it. Easy words.
Sure.
Easy to say, but...
I mean, you know, I've told your friend Fred Ball years ago when he first started trying to do stand-up, which he's done a few times with me, and yeah. amazing. Like, Fred Ball is a great example of somebody that just said, I want to try this, mm-hmm. was probably a scared of it. But I've done shows with him recently where he's gotten better, you know, and he gets up, he's got balls to do it. He does 5 or 6 minutes of stand-up, and it's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the idea that it's a guy who has a whole other
mm-hmm.
life,
mm-hmm.
puts himself in harm's way, you know? And I can't remember what the point of that was.
No, it's just you've got to realize that the audience isn't as critical
right.
as you think they
are. I know what the point is.
Yeah.
I said to Fred once, mm-hmm. I said, just remember this, Fred. Everyone watching you wants you to do well.
Right.
Right.
They're subconscious, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, we all sit in the audience, and we're not hoping for disaster
because mm-hmm.
it makes us uncomfortable.
And you're hoping to be entertained.
And what you don't want is this thing called transferred embarrassment. You don't want that. For,
yes.
I want you to, the father
right.
of the bride, we're all hoping mm-hmm. we're all cheering for them.
Yeah.
We want well for them. Now, stand-up's a bit more adversarial because the audience has paid money.
Yes.
They're like subconsciously part of their thing is you better make me laugh.
They have a requirement.
But they also want you to do well because they mostly don't want to be embarrassed for
right.
you not making them laugh.
Right. No, it's something. It really is something.
Yeah.
To take those steps.
It's like riding
towards
a bike,
that.
Driving a car, that
all those things.
The unknown.
Well, that's true. Listen, let's switch gears here. Our friend Doc Patel from Ringside Medical,
mm-hmm.
We're going to have them back on soon. But Alkesh Patel, good friend of the show, been a good friend of mine in the last couple of months. I've been able to text him and ask him questions about my gastric erosion. he just came out of gallbladder surgery a couple days ago.
Mm.
I sent him a note making sure he's good. He sent me a note back. He's fine for you people who are worried about Doc Patel. But, yeah, it was ironic that when I first texted him and said, do you think I should go to the hospital? And it turned out I didn't have gallbladder problems. He said, hey, it's very common. And he was going to have his gallbladder taken out, which he did. They do that nowadays.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about the Major League Baseball playoffs. Has the World Series been set? I hear that Houston. Is Houston still part of this?
Howard, it's 2 games old.
Is it? Is the World Series on?
Yeah.
Seriously, is Houston playing in the World Series?
You may want to pick up a paper.
I don't read newspapers.
It's 2 games.
Listen, if you hadn't told me to watch Peaky Blinders, no. I'd be a lot better informed.
Right.
2 games. Washington Nationals up 2-0.
Wow.
The old Montreal Expos. Last night they lambasted the Astros 12-3 right in Houston. So now Nationals take it home, and they could literally win the World Series in the next 2 games or the 3 at home, wrap it up. So quite exciting. Another exciting sports story from last night. Toronto FC beat New York City Football Club at Citi Field in New York to advance to the Eastern Final of the MLS playoffs.
And who do we play? Who would that be in the East for
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Or Atlanta. They're playing tonight, I think.
And have the, I think the Toronto FC squad, have we not won the championship?
Oh, a couple
as well?
Times.
2 years ago. No.
We did?
Oh, we were in the championship twice.
Oh, right. We lost.
Remember
one.
The first one we lost?
Mm.
Seattle did not get a shot on goal the entire game. Right?
Yes.
It was 0-0, went to a kickoff or a kick out or whatever they call it.
Shoot
and
out.
Toronto
extra
lost.
Kicks or something.
Yeah. What do you call
shoot
it?
Shoot kick.
I guess it's, what is it? Extra kicks?
I don't
is
know.
It?
Shoot
yeah.
kick score. but whatever.
What
and then we defeated them the next year, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We did defeat them. Okay, so that's it. So it's Houston and who?
Washington.
Right, the old Expos, you said.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I might watch a game or two. When is it on? Is it on the TV?
I think tonight's a night off, and then the next 3 games are in Washington. Yeah.
Because I taped the Zuzu Championship or whatever it was from
Zuzu?
Is it? I can't remember.
Yeah,
I think it's
Zuzu.
A Zuzu.
Yeah, the old car manufacturer.
I told you the PGA Tour is in Japan for the first time. Tiger's playing. Rory McIlroy's playing. So I taped it. It was on because they're 13 hours ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, I was taping it last night, so I'll watch Thursday's round today. What?
So Tiger will go to Japan, but he won't come to Canada. Why is that?
That's not. Don't get defensive. Tiger came to Canada. He conquered Canada. He moved on.
In 2000 or 2001.
Whatever. How much?
No, I just don't understand that.
But hey. Listen, mm-hmm. You know, we had this discussion. I was talking about this with a golf guy yesterday about why is Tiger playing in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, simply, for two reasons. One, appearance fee now, I think, is $4 million. But ooh. So he'll get on his plane mm-hmm. and fly to your event for $4 million. But I think Tiger, his bigger plan is golf course design.
Mm.
So Tiger is now just getting to that phase of his life, like Nicklaus did with Glen Abbey in 1977. Where he's going to take his design company around the world. So I'm sure that Japan is part of that.
Yeah, it's probably a growing market thing, right?
So you said earlier in the show, Tiger wouldn't do his memoirs for money. Why would he take $4 million for an appearance fee at all the way in Japan? I guess you just explained
that. For the right. bigger picture is his design company. And because Tiger is, you know, I think he's going to be 43 or 44. This is, the Tiger era is done as far as I'm concerned. He might win another tournament. I hope he does to get to 82 tournament wins. But, you know, that excitement of 18 and 19 is done now.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to be a ceremonial player, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So I'll watch that. And then this weekend I'm going to watch one of the World Series games because I find those exciting.
Tiger should design mini-putt courses, you know?
Yeah.
Put the ball through the brothel, stuff like that.
Put the ball through the windshield?
Yeah. That's right. Uh-huh. He should have, like, his own, like, video game.
Right.
Where, you know, you gain points by having sex with waffle waitresses. Waffle House waitresses.
I know it hurts for you to make jokes about that.
I'm
very nervous before I do a Tiger slap.
All right.
Listen. Grand Tiger Auto.
We all have our hair. You know, you're what's his name? Borya Salming is whatever. You enjoy
his? I like Borya.
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 I like Borya. I like Dougie. Yeah.
Couple other things, too. The MLB. Oh, yeah, we were on the... I've got a surprise for you. That's right. I have a surprise for you.
Can I eat it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Here is... Now, listen, this thing has been going on, this Humble and Fred podcast, broadcast, radio show, whatever you want to call it. It's been going on for some time, Phil.
Yep.
What are we into, 8 years or something?
Year nine, but 8 years passed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it'll be my anniversary, what is it, next Wednesday or Thursday?
You're eight?
Yeah,
I came in October 31st, 2011. Couldn't find the place. I remember this.
What a sweet boy.
Where are all the units? And so I went out, wound up in the office. Scary Pete came out. You guys were recording. And so that's how it all started.
Oh, I remember it vividly because I met you and then ran into Howard and said, you must meet this young fellow.
Oh, boy.
We actually ran into Phil for the first time. We were speaking at a broadcast.
Oh, yes.
A student conference.
Did we?
No. Yeah.
That's like a couple days before you guys started the
we
show.
Were on the podium or whatever they call that. We were on
doing our improv.
Yeah, we did our improv show. We did a two-hander. And you saw us on stage.
Yes.
We were speaking at this conference with a bunch of other radio people. And Phil went, because we had offered, as we always do to young people, we said, listen, if you want to intern with us, we're doing this new project.
Mm-hmm.
We've had great success with interns. We'd like you to join us.
Right. And half the students and then the entire province of radio colleges went up to you, swarmed you, and I couldn't find you. And so I emailed instead over the weekend. And then Fred's like, hey, come in, Phil. Mm-hmm. And then there you go.
Yeah. So, and then that was 2 weeks after we started. But so Phil's been with us for a long time, is the point.
Oof.
But the very first person to ever sort of buy into the concept of us doing a podcast and then a radio show was Mike Muzzin. And we've mentioned iTex. That was our first sponsor.
Yes.
And iTex in the last 8 years has been a great partner and friend, and Muzzin just couldn't have, there are very few people that are more sincere in their support for us.
Mm-hmm.
So unbeknownst to me and now you, what Mike did is he went to Funny 820 and he bought a campaign. I'm sure he used iTex money because you can.
Right.
But he purchased a campaign for us for our 30th anniversary.
Aww. What do you mean?
Well,
what kind of a campaign?
Have a listen.
Like an iTex campaign?
As the founding sponsor of the Humble...
So this has been running on Funny 820 for the last week, and we haven't heard it.
Oh, our sweet boy.
As the founding sponsor of the Humble and Fred Show, iTex Barter Exchange would like to congratulate and sit down and applaud Humble and Fred on their 30th anniversary. The comedic genius that is Humble Howard and Fred Patterson has been keeping listeners ROFLing for over three decades. Congratulations, Howard and Fred. We look forward to another 30 years of laughs, inappropriate jokes, and offensive language. We wouldn't barter it for anything. Love your friends at iTex Barter Exchange. Mwah!
Now, come on.
That is just so sweet.
Isn't that the sweetest thing? And Mike calls me yesterday and said, have you, because this is about to go off the air. And he says, I know one thing. I said, what's that, Muzz? He goes, you don't listen to that radio station. I go, well, that's not true. Once in a while I do. But, you know, this has been running, not just in our show. Apparently, it's been running all day. But okay. So neither of us have heard it.
Well, it can continue to run on our show. If we choose, and maybe it should.
Yeah. Well, I see. You mean like just run that? Right. Yeah. Just throw it in there.
Why not?
Why don't we do that? It's for him.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. That's
the point I'm making.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
He did that for us. Then
we'll
we take the power of Humble and Fred, and we just get them to run it for the next weeks or so.
In our segment.
In our segment. Okay. Well, there you go. It's a win-win-win.
Win-win-win.
But isn't that lovely? What a sweet gesture.
Who's that voice?
I don't know, somebody at the radio station.
Ah. As the founding sponsor of the Humble and Fred Show, iTex Barter Exchange would like to congratulate and sit down and applaud Humble and Fred on their 30th anniversary. The comedic genius that is Humble Howard and...
Yeah, that's a weird edit right there. What the comedic genius that is Humble Howard? And it's almost like he had them put it in after...
Anniversary, the comedic genius that is Humble Howard and Fred Patterson.
Like, there's an edit there.
Yes.
Anyway, it's pretty cool that Mike did that for us.
That's right.
And we congratulate Mike Muzzin. Since we started 8 years ago, he has expanded from being the most successful barter company in Ontario, then Canada. Mm-hmm. Then he took over a bunch of different markets, and now he controls almost all of North America. Wow. I mean, if he doesn't, he should.
Yeah.
No, good. Yeah, absolutely. Hardworking young entrepreneur.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
We should also thank Mike Boone.
Yes, I have it right here. Oh, see, it says Boone Podcast.
That's right. We did his podcast yesterday. A look back over the past 30 years, so to speak. It was great in his refurbished studio. Mike, a big supporter of the show for oh so many years. It was, you can hear that podcast at Toronto Mike.
Yeah. That's right, Toronto Mike. And Twitter seems to be all a buzz.
Oh, yes.
With because the show is also on Periscope. That's the platform that Mike uses. We use Twitch. And people are, the buzz is that there was some like awkward thing at the end.
Controversy.
Whatever.
That's what they said.
But I wrote this morning on his Twitter feed.
Well,
I just said, we had a great and wide-ranging chat. And thanks, as always, for having us in. Awkward at the end? Question mark? No more than the rest of our lives. And then Lou Skeezes wrote, nothing draws a crowd like awkward. Oh, we know.
Well, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure anyone that had no intention of listening to the show will now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, because if you go to Mike's, if you go to Toronto Mike on Twitter, which you should be, at Toronto Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Is his handle. There's a few of the people there that, you know, asking about how it ended and so forth. But, like, listen, the bottom line is...
It's no big deal. I mean...
It's no big deal.
He ran something and caught us a little off guard. And what can we say? It was awkward.
You know, we talked about, you know...
Did you hear it, Phil?
Oh, not yet.
Oh, you should listen to it.
I'm looking into it now because I'm like, what?
If you like awkward...
We should play it.
We should.
Probably.
We should.
No, we
podcast
can't,
extra.
Though.
Why?
This is a bad wood.
Well, we can play it maybe on our podcast extra next week. But here's the thing. Mike Muzzin, a founding sponsor of the show. Phyllis Hong, obviously so important to us. But no offense to either of you guys. You know, we could not have got it off the ground. You've said it. I've said it. I'm going to say it again. Couldn't be doing this. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that kid, Mike. Because we didn't know any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You know, Mike sat with us. Well, for sure, you... With the XML and me as well, but for a long time, Mike was in there every day helping us get the show on the air, even before you.
That's true.
Now, you took the ball and ran with it.
Well, the thing is, what I remembered is back in the podcast days was you guys were all getting into the technology that I've learned, and when Toronto Mike basically gave you the layman's terms for everything, it gave you comfortability that no one could give you, basically.
Well, and also having him around gave us comfort that it was going, because there was some days there early on, do you remember that? Like, I wasn't sure we were going to get it up that day. Like, we didn't know what we were doing to the point that there were some days it's just we had to have them around. So whatever awkward moment happened, it doesn't take away from the fact we've all been friends for a long time and will continue to be his friend.
Without a doubt.
So, suck it. Hey, Phil.
Hello.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about Strain Print?
Absolutely. One of our fine sponsors, Strain Print. You know, in these days,
big supporters
of legalized cannabis and legalized edibles. Eventually, we have a wonderful way to track and journal your progress through the legalized cannabis world. Use cannabis better with the free Strain Print companion app that will help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience with cannabis can be. And since there are people who process cannabis differently compared to you, you can share and learn more about how you all can understand different strains of marijuana, and you can collect points on your journey as well. Strainprint.ca, and check it out free on the Apple or Google Play Store.
Phil's hosting the Best of Humble and Fred. Looking forward to that tomorrow morning at 7 and on Saturday at 7 as well. Lots of great content. Mm-hmm. There'll be a brand new episode of Swing Thoughts for you golf nerds. We have a guest, Ralph Bauer, I believe is going to be on our show. Very decorated Canadian golf coach, works with some tour players as well. Give you some ideas of what you might want to work on, you know, during the winter months. What are you doing? Are you going?
I'm heading up north, helping my buddy pull up his docks. Quickly though, a quick up and down. That's all I have planned. How about you?
Well, I'm going to be at Yuck Yucks tomorrow night, 9 o'clock show. Sunday, I think that show is sold out, but it's going to be a great program of whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, that's right.
Cirque du Soleil.
When are you going to Cirque du Soleil?
Cirque du Soleil on Sunday.
Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil. Are we doing anything else, or are we just shutting it down?
Yeah, I got to go.
Okay, Fred's got to go. Mm-hmm. I got to go. See you, people.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Freedom Construction, Ringside MD, Clear Air Solutions, CDN Technologies, and 5-Hour Energy. We broadcast to the world from the worldwide headquarters of The Humble and Fred Show. Best of Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com. I need